Let us pray, please. Our scripture lessons for today are from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. But before we hear these words of prophecy and peace, let's begin with our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless us with your presence that we might hear what you are saying to us today. Amen. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. It's the account of John the Baptist. It's John the Baptist's first appearance in Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came and preached in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who has spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." Now John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I can tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. Now I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes the one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Well, he picked up his axe and he chopped a tree clean down with his forward swing.
Got him another when his axe flung back that timber cutting thing. He kept on a chopping the livelong day, and then when it was night, he walked back over the stumps he cut and stomped them out of sight. Thanks, Paul.
What? Nothing.
Paul Bunyan.
That sounds good. Yeah, put them next time.
Well, he picked up his axe and he chopped a tree.
Paul Bunyan. Y'all remember Paul Bunyan? The Midwestern mythical figure taming the wild country of America's westward expansion, clearing the forests for farmland, and capturing the American spirit of the time. What was his bull's name? Blue. No, Babe. He was blue, though. He was blue. Babe the Blue Ox. Now, when I read John the Baptist, and I read the end of, right before our passage from Isaiah today, Isaiah 11, they're right at the end of Isaiah 10, you will encounter a God who most likely resembles Paul Bunyan. A God who has got an axe ready to chop down anything that gets in its way, anybody who dares to betray God. I love that Paul Bunyan thing. That's like the most amazing thing, right? Chopping those trees down, these giant trees in one swing. Oh, terrifying. At the end of Isaiah 10, God says, "See, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe." God is clearing out the forest. And at first glance, when you read these are scriptures of pure judgment. God is sorting out the good growth from the bad growth. Divine justice is being doled out. God has the axe at ready. Be careful. There are a few things the church throughout its history has loved more than trying to scare all of you in the pews with the threat of God's wrath coming down upon you. We have been incredibly successful at that, by the way. And you know, I think many of you in here, right, have had that feeling where, oh, I need to be scared. I need to be scared. God's judgment's coming. Oh no, God's got the axe, right? To kind of scare you into belief. Now, the church has learned more recently that this is not a very effective form of evangelism. In fact, it's actually been a very destructive form of evangelism over the last 40 years when you have these scriptures that are just an attempt to scare us into faith, right? And that's how we could easily dismiss these faith. We could say, oh, this is just a scare tactic by John and Isaiah. They're just trying to scare us into believing into God. But there is perhaps more going on in this image of God with the axe than just simple destruction and being afraid of God's wrath. There is something essential to the season of Advent that we are in right now about what it means for God to be ready to take down and thin out a forest. So to get at this point, we need to burn something. Anyone got something they're ready to burn? You got? Okay, no, we're not going to do it here in the sanctuary. But I'm talking about burning something out in the forest. As many of you may or may not know, despite the massive efforts to prevent forest fires by Smokey the Bear himself, it turns out that forest fires are not actually bad for a forest's ecosystem. In fact, the more we learn about forest fires, the more we realize that they were actually a natural and necessary part of a life cycle of a forest. The fires burn away dead trees, decaying matter, plant matter, underbrush, and part of the canopy blocking sunlight to the surface. It also destroys invasive weeds and drives out insects that cause damage to the trees. And this thinning out or clearing from fire allows for new young trees and vegetation to grow in its wake and help the forest to become more biologically diverse by opening up new habitats for birds and small animals. I got an example of this. Tom, let's go ahead and hit this. I want y'all to see, this is what happens after a controlled burn in a forest. And I think this is, I can't remember where this is, but take a look at this. Watch, it's a controlled burn. So you can see how these forest fires actually create an opportunity for new things to be born and raised in that area, trees, animals. In fact, a research facility called Tall Timbers in Tallahassee, Florida, ran an experiment over a 23-acre section of forest where they did not allow that part of the forest to burn for 40 years. There were no fires allowed in that 23 acres. And what they discovered, according to this article I read, was that plant diversity fell by 90%. One species of bird, the red-cocked woodpeckers, Don, does that sound familiar? Disappeared entirely. And in order, and so this, what they discovered was that this ecosystem, like many others, needed fire. That nutrients from the burned vegetation continued to leach into the soil to fuel the plant, the birth of new plants. So there is this incredible cycle in nature where that which came before fuels forms the foundation for what is to be born anew and to thrive, and to allow it to thrive. That same article discussed how forest managers are now replicating this natural strategy when appropriate, starting manageable and slow-burning fires to make room for new life that will keep the forest healthy in the long term. So, what if we took all that information about fires and forest fires and we applied that to God, carrying the axe on the divine shoulder? Meaning, a God who intentionally clears out the decaying and the dead parts of our lives and our world in order to make room for something new, stronger, healthier, because of what came before it. Now, Anne and I had this theology professor, Dr. Otati. And he stressed to us that all of us had to be trained as theologians. Everybody who was a pastor also needed to be a theologian of sorts, willing to discover new interpretations of Scripture, new understandings of how God interacted with the world. But he stressed to us that you cannot simply ignore the faithful and powerful work of those who came before. You can critique it. You can adapt it. You could say that's exactly right, but you can't ignore it. You have to wrestle with it. You can challenge it, but don't ignore it. And Dr. Otati would not have stated it this way, but he would have said it was okay to burn the houses of these old theologians down to the ground as long as the remains provided some of the material for the new house you were constructing. So the new shoot of God emerges, right, in Isaiah, from the stump of Jesse. In Isaiah, and in John, John will make way for someone more powerful than himself, who will baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. I love that's right there. What came before will fuel what is coming next, just as it does in a forest fire. So the question of the day is, what needs to be burned away in our lives? What decay and dead stuff is lingering around your life that is preventing you from flourishing in God's light? It's time to welcome the cleansing flame into our lives and into the lives of our community. How can we learn from our past and then let it go so we can move forward? John the Baptist is clear in his firebrand sermon that repentance can't wait. In order to take the next step, we are called to turn, which is what repentance means, to turn and change directions. Literally clearing out the bad growth to support the good growth. It's God trimming back the vine branches from the Gospel of John. This Advent season, I ask you to seek repentance. Burn away those things that are dying and decaying within your soul. Those old hurts, those regrets, those hang-ups, those frustrations. Clinging to them makes you dead as the forest that didn't burn for 40 years. May we embrace Jesus' willing fork so that the wheat and the chaff may be separated in our lives. Right? That the bad growth that we have been holding on, convinced that there is some good reason to hold on to something dead and decaying in our lives, that God may separate that out. That we may let that burn this Advent season. So we can go forward into Jesus' kingdom and be ready for Jesus' return. In the name of the Father, and of the Soul, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.